Call the order, the East West Gateway Council of Governments Board of Directors meeting for Wednesday, January 29, 2020. Do I have a motion for approval of the minutes for the October 30th and November 13th? Motion by Mr. Moser. Second by Mr. Kellin, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it, minutes are approved. Before we go any further, want to go ahead and welcome our new member, Ron Williams. Ron, thank you for agreeing to serve, and it's good, great to have you here. You're the regional citizen from Madison County, and I hope you enjoy your service.
Thank you.
First discussion item is where we stand, eighth edition, update number three per capita income. John?
Yeah, thanks. So Governor Parson in his State of the State address said that one way to assess how we're doing as a state is to ask, do more people have more money in their pockets? And that's the topic of this where we stand update. We describe changes in per capita income for the 50 largest metropolitan regions over the last 50 years. So in the report, you're going to see a lot of graphs that look like this that show changes in income levels for all 50 of the metros that we usually compare ourselves to. But for this presentation, I'm just going to restrict it to the top seven regions, the bottom seven regions, and then St. Louis. So what this graph shows is the change in per capita income over the last 50 years, from 1969 to 2018. And so the beginning of each arrow, represented by a heavy dash there, represents the level in 1969, expressed as a percent of the national average, which is on the purple line. And then the tip of the arrow shows the income levels in 2018. So if you can look at San Jose there on the far left there, in 1969, its per capita income was about 25% higher than the national average. And by 2018, that had shot way up to nearly double the national average. And just looking at this chart, it seems to me that there are five regions that really dominate the rest of the country as far as income levels. They're the Bay Area, San Jose and San Francisco, Boston, New York, and Seattle. Austin and Nashville also saw big growth in this time period, but they started out a lot poorer than the rest of the country, and they're just a little above average now. We did have a little description in the report of what happened in each of those regions. So I'm not going to walk through every graph in detail, but if you want to look at the report, it describes what happened to each of these regions in each of the major business cycles since 1969. So for example, in the 1970s, some of us remember oil prices spiked, and Houston did very well in that period. Places like New York and Boston, less well. St. Louis, right in the middle there, highlighted in orange, barely changed. And then in the 80s, this was the rise of finance. So that's when terms like mergers and acquisitions and leveraged buyouts, junk bonds, became part of the common lexicon. And so the regions that really prospered there were the ones that specialized in financial services, so Boston, New York, Hartford. So St. Louis there again in the middle, barely changed relative to the national average. And then the 90s, of course, this was the dot-com bubble. So this is when the Bay Area really pulled away from the rest of the country. St. Louis, again, was a model of consistency. And then the housing bubble, the regions that saw the biggest increase in this time period were the ones that had the largest appreciation in home values. So St. Louis dropped slightly in this time, but still remained just above the national average. San Jose was actually the big loser in this time period, but San Jose and San Francisco were still trying to recover from the dot-com crash, but they still had income levels that were well above the national average. And then we saw the recession, and the regions that did best in the recession, like St. Louis, were the ones that had been largely bypassed by the previous two bubbles. And then we get to the most recent time period, since 2010. And it's clear that once again, the areas that specialize in technology are pulling away from the rest of the country, so San Jose, San Francisco, and Seattle. St. Louis has dropped slightly. We started out in 1969 at about 4% higher than the national average. Now we're at about 3%. But we've really been quite consistent. And so just going back to the 50-year view, I just have two main conclusions that I'd like to suggest. And the first is that St. Louis is doing better than a lot of regions. We're doing better than a lot of the other big manufacturing regions like Detroit and Cleveland, who have seen their income levels drop a lot more than ours. We're doing better in terms of income than some of the Sun Belt regions that have seen explosive population growth, but very slow income growth. And we're still ahead of some of our nearest neighbors like Kansas City and Indianapolis. So I think consistency like this really shows an underlying strength in the St. Louis economy. After EAC, Jim remarked to me that this is what resilience looks like, and it really is. We've taken all these body blows over the last 50 years, and we've still kept our heads above water. So I think that really does show some strength. But the other conclusion is that there's just a phenomenal amount of money flowing from the rest of the country into just a very small number of metro areas. We're talking the Bay Area to Seattle, and we're talking Boston, New York corridor. And, you know, to the extent that this is because they're more productive than the rest of us or more innovative, then if you believe in free market economics like I do, you'd have to say, well done, San Jose. You made yourself more competitive and you're getting your just rewards. But there is another hypothesis, which is that federal policy is systematically steering money to certain regions and away from others. Particular that political manipulation and anti-competitive practices on the part of some of the big tech companies are responsible for concentrating wealth in these in just a handful of corporations that are concentrated in a handful of areas. So a few months ago, the Trump administration announced that the Department of Justice would begin an investigation of anti-competitive practices of the tech industry. And there's also currently a bipartisan investigation going on in the House Subcommittee on antitrust, looking at the same issue, whether anti-competitive practices are responsible for some of this accumulation of wealth. And I think the outcome of these investigations could affect the structure of the tech industry and the ability of places like St. Louis to compete for some of those high-paying tech jobs. A couple of weeks ago, the Brookings Institution issued a report where they called for the establishment of regional innovation centers as a way that the federal government could try to spread out some of the benefits from the wealth being generated in technology. And who knows if anything like this will ever be enacted, but we'll monitor that, any developments along there in case we would want to compete for something like that. So now, Kimmer, I'm just going to show you something we're launching. We've got an online tool on the Where We Stand website. If you think that I didn't get the right gears, you can use this to you can use the slider bar here to select any two gears that you're interested in, and you can see the relative change in per capita income for each of the 50 metro regions, and you can mouse over to get the actual numbers and which region it is. So we just did this as an interactive tool to see if we could generate some online discussion. Hopefully we'll get some tweets out of it. If we'll be tweeting out something about it later, and if you'd like to retweet, it might just help generate discussion on this whole topic of regional inequality. So thank you for your time, and I welcome any thoughts that you might have.
Any comments or questions?
Thank you,
John. Do we have anything special just with our peers, peer cities, or who are our peer cities? It should be. Really be comparing ourselves.
Yeah, so,
we'll never be San Francisco or New York.
So usually in Where We Stand, what we do is we compare ourselves to the 50 largest metro regions, but we also highlight in our Where We Stand tables in a shade of purple our nearest Midwestern peers, so, Detroit, Indianapolis, Kansas City. So looking at those tables, you can kind of tell at a glance where we rank within the Midwest.
Okay. Any other questions? All right, thank you. Moving on to discussion item B, 2021-2024 Transportation Improvement Program Development.
Do you East West Gateway staff have been part of the 2021-2024 Transportation Improvement Program, or TIP. A TIP is a schedule of projects that are receiving federal funds over the next 4 years. Projects with federal funds must be included in the document in order to move towards completion. Development of the TIP kicks off when applications for a local program applications go on the website. This year, East West Gateway is accepting applications for the Surface Transportation Block Grant, or STP, and Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Improvement Program, or CMAP. These applications went on the website on November 8th. STP funds can be used for projects like road, bike, pedestrian, or traffic flow improvements, as well as transit investments. CMAP projects can be used for projects that reduce congestion for air quality. This includes projects such as intersection improvements, roundabouts, signal time improvements, or transit vehicle acquisitions. This year, there's approximately $5 million available in the program for STP in Illinois and $5.5 million for CMAC in Illinois. And in Missouri, there's approximately $55 million available in the program for STP and $20 million available for CMAC. East West Gateway staff hosted 4 workshops throughout the region during November between the 18th and 21st. This was to provide project sponsors like cities and counties, given information on the funding types, the applications that were available, as well as the evaluation process. And then this month, East West Gateway hosted 3 project review workshops. At these workshops, a project sponsor signs up for a half-hour time slot to discuss the project in further detail with the staff. We have the Department of Transportation staff, as well as transit and environment staff. The STP and CMAC applications are due on February 13th, and following this, staff will begin the evaluation process. In March, Gateway staff will present a summary of the projects that were submitted for consideration to you all. And on April 3rd is when the development of the TIP continues, when the draft programs from our partner agencies, from MoDOT, from HIDOT, Metro, Madison County Transit, where those projects are due, and those projects will be pursued and incorporated into the draft transportation improvement program. At the beginning of May, the East West Gateway staff will bring the score local projects to the Transportation Planning Committee for their review and for recommendations for funding of local projects based on the funds that are available. At the end of May, staff will present the local projects that are recommended for funding to you all. And in June, those projects that were recommended for funding, as well as the MoDOT, Metro, and Madison County Transit projects. Those will be in the draft transportation improvement program, which will be presented to you at the June meeting. Following the June meeting, from the 30th of June to August 5th, there will be a public comment period on the draft TIP. And the draft TIP will be available throughout the region during that time on our website, open house meetings. And following the closing of the comment period on August 5th, staff will summarize their comments and will present the TIP for final approval at your August 26th meeting. Thank you.
Are there any questions, comments? Thank you, Jason. Next order of business is discussion item C, St. Louis International Airport. Let Jim speak in a minute, but let me just say that County Executive Page had asked the Port Authority to go ahead and look at an airport study. First they weren't, and then they were, and now they've decided they're not for the time being. And when they made that decision, I asked Jim to at least put this on the ballot so we can discuss whether that is something that we as an organization would be interested in doing. And Jim, what are the possibilities?
Yeah, so you said everything I was planning on saying.
Okay.
That's okay. This is really about having a conversation at this table about the airport. It is owned by the City of St. Louis, but many people view it as a regional asset, both in terms of economic development for the region and just as a source of pride for the region, right? So. And I'm sure many other ways. However you want to measure asset, it could probably fit into that. At the Executive Advisory Committee meeting, the Municipal League brought up the request of bringing it to the board for conversation. I talked to Vice Chairman Elman about that, and he asked that I put it on. There's plenty of things we could do, but I think some of it needs to be hashed out here amongst all of you in terms of what you think we should be doing. And I'm certainly happy that the mayor and the president is here today because, are here today because I'm sure they're tired of people having conversations about their assets without involving them in the conversation. So, yeah, it's a fair bet. And I did invite Rhonda from the airport to come out. She has to be at a meeting out of state, but she had a similar sentiment to the mayor that it'd be nice to be involved in some conversations about your own property. So, depending at the end of the day of what happens, we could look at consulting services, we could look at in-house, we could look at a combination of things, we could look at having a committee of the board, we could look at having a committee similar to what we did with the Freightway to talk about how we should proceed, what we should proceed on, and that sort of thing. But I think we just wanted to have the conversation.
Yeah, let's have the conversation. Comments?
What would be the nature of the structure? That's where we start. And what would we hope to come out of?
I think you question that, Stu. Well, I would just say that I think St. Louis County would be prepared to participate in investment depending on what the product looked like. If we could start with the question of what kind of airport do we want and then figure out how to answer that question. Most of the land around the airport is St. Louis County, that if the development matched the kind of airport that we want, and I think a tip of that development to generate some revenue that could be injected into the airport for improvements. But I don't think anybody comes to this conversation to participate in it without bringing something to the table. But I think we first start with what kind of airport we want.
Well, to me, I guess the biggest issue, I believe, for the city is the fact that we can get roughly $6.7 million a year from that. For the foreseeable future, even if you double the revenue at the airport, that's all we're going to receive. Additional investment in the airport, I can understand how it helps the county, because the county right now is estimated as receiving roughly five times what the city is receiving on an annual basis, right, in tax revenue and stuff. So anytime we increase the activity at the airport, it is a windfall for the county. So the whole airport privatization effort was the only way we could see revenue coming out of the airport and to our general revenue to help us address the issue of two separate cities. We have a city north of Del Mar, we have a city south of Del Mar. Short of a major cash infusion, that's going to be, in our lifetime, we will not see a change in that. We talk about the crime in our city, we talk about economic empowerment, and none of those things can happen without revenue. We need some way to right the ship from has set us on this course because of historic biases, redlining, developers not wanting to go there. The team floor plan that was put in place by the Shamel administration that said we're not going to put a dime north of Del Mar because we want it to die down, people to move out, and then we're going to go down and start over. Families have invested, their entire life savings into the properties there. And have raised the kids there, our schools and everything now have suffered because of it. A typical P3, adopted a P3, and we put a P3 in place to redevelop the airport, that'd be great for the county, but it does not one thing for the city. We take the fact that St. Louis County can pay their police officers a lot more than St. Louis City, largely because they can get more tax revenue. So I think one of the things we need to start with is say, okay, St. Louis County, are you willing to reinvest in the city by taking all that additional tax revenue that you're getting from the airport and do a pilot payment and do the taxes or something back to the city. I think we probably start there.
Mr. President.
Because again,
disagree with a lot of what you said.
This entire effort has to be more than just about the airport. Majority of citizens of the city of St. Louis are not flying there. But guess what? They're having to deal with poverty. They're having to deal with their kids having safe places to play. They're having to deal with our rec centers being in disrepair. They're having to deal with major infrastructure issues, debt issues, and everything else. Right? So, again, if this whole discussion is just about a better airport, then I have a problem with it. I mean, it has to be more than that. So St. Louis County step up to the plate and reinvest in the city with some of the tax dollars that you're receiving every single day. And for those who were supportive of Better Together, what I would say then about the folks that were supportive of Better Together, do us a favor. Let us annex that property and make it part of St. Louis City. That'd be a blessing. And if we can make that part of St. Louis City, we take care of a lot of major issues. That would be a $35 to $40 million a year windfall for the city that we can use to right the ship, to address some of the socioeconomic issues that are sitting at the core of what you see every day.
Mr. President, one question I have. The gross receipts tax, which is the $6.7 million that you get right now, is economic activity increases at the airport. That
we don't know. No. The only reason we get the 6.7 million is that we're grandfathered in. That has to be renegotiated with the airports every 5 years. And, that is not going to, it can
what
go
is
down.
It, what isn't it based upon activity at the airport? Because it's been, it has grown over the years. First time I read about it was 3.5, and now it's up to 6.7. And I think it might have even been higher when we were a hub.
I can't remember the year that Congress took up the issue that put us at that cap, but they took
that issue too.
Yeah, and it was based on grants and various different things that the airport had received, right? Mm-hmm. That's how we arrived at 6.7. But that 6.7 isn't guaranteed. It's really not going to go up, but it can indeed go down. Again,
so the amount of grandfather or the rate?
Exactly. We're grandfathering it.
The amount or the rate?
The bleeps, the rate. Yeah. Yes.
So it can go up a tad, and it has gone up a little bit, from 6 million to 6.7 over, the last year.
Wasn't it a lot?
It would have been. I didn't look at it,
But anyway, across.
I think you've made my point. All right, I've been looking at this issue for 25 years, and you've told me some things I didn't know. Okay. All right? So why don't we have somebody look at all these possibilities, including everything that you said in this study, and at least then when we discuss this in the future, we'll at least know what the facts are. Okay? Because like I said, you've told me something I didn't know until just now. And, I don't want this, I hope we do this like we did the TIF, the retail TIF. I mean, I think our staff did a good job of looking at it objectively. They didn't totally trash the process, but they gave us some facts that we could then have a intelligent discussion about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead and respond. Go ahead. You would respond to that. No, I was just going to say, I think we've got probably the best research staff in the region. However, there are some things that I think need to be looked at that we would probably need to bring in some outside help on. Legal opinions on FAA rules and regulations, some of the economic development activities that could potentially be looked at, both at the airport itself as an economic stimulus for the region, and then what's really involved in terms of developing property around it. There's some of those things. That said, we could use some of our partner agencies in the region to be part of this. Maybe the St. Louis Partnership, along with economic development directors from the counties, perhaps You know, we could bring in some other agencies that are regional or semi-regional in nature to help with that process. So.
I would just say that even though there are entities around the region that don't like it, the city owns the airport. We have owned it for 100 years. And I see it is an asset for the region to the extent that it is an asset. And, you know, it could be a better asset or it could be a worse asset. But we would all hope that it'll be a better asset for the region. And I think this is interesting because this is an asset that everybody seems to want to get a piece of. Now, I'd love to see you all try to get a piece of the homeless situation. I mean, when we're talking about regional here, I get it. This is an asset. So let's do a regional study about how we're all going to pitch in on homelessness or how we're all, you know, I mean, Forest Park is an asset. Are we thinking that that should have, nobody else except the city of St. Louis and private donors favors it? So, I mean, there is, I'd like to see a definition here of what this study is going to do. If the result of this study is to figure out how St. Louis County or St. Charles County or Madison or any other county can take over the airport, well, you know, it.
Mr. Chairman,
I just want to make sure I understand that any other entity could do to become a part of the airport would come with some financial commitment, which would address your concerns. We're not talking about, if we go down this very complicated question, we might not be able to answer it. It's too complicated, but no one here is talking about taking something. We're talking about participating in it. And if we get there, then you all have title and we'll get there. But I don't know if we can get there, but I'm sorry to interrupt. I just didn't want this conversation to go on any farther to down this pathway that we're trying to not participate in something that works for everyone and addresses your goals.
If I was in St. Louis County and if I represented any area in St. Louis County, right, it would be very easy for me to put forth an argument with my voters as to why it's important for us to invest in the airport. Get that. From St. Louis City standpoint, how does that help us, right? It's clear how it helps you because you're investing in it. If you took just a small percentage of the tax revenue that you take from the airport on an annual basis, put it back in the airport, increase that asset, it helps you tenfold. Right, it helps us a very, very small percentage because our issues are.
That's not what I said.
I know that's not
what I said. That's not what I meant. And I think it's important that I recognize all the stakeholders in the decision, and if the stakeholders aren't happy, there is no decision. So unless someone comes in with something to the elected leadership of the city of St. Louis to explain what's good for them, then there's no problem. I get that.
I want to make sure that what's at the core of is that, again, the total tax revenue that St. Louis County is taking in. If we're going to do a study, let's take a look at how some of that tax revenue can make it right back to the city of St. Louis so that we can do things outside of it. You see what I mean? So that there's a balancing. We're carrying all the debt. We're carrying over $600 million in debt. So we can take out a little $6.7 million, put it right back into the airport every year. It takes us nearly 100 years to pay off the debt. Meanwhile, you all have no debt related to it. You're getting five times the amount of tax revenue we are on an annual basis. It's just not a good deal. And not to mention the fact that we have brought St. Louis County into the whole deal so that St. Louis County has a seat at the table to help put the governance of it on an annual basis, right? So, you know, that whole thing needs to be revisited. It just is not working for the residents of the city.
I hope you don't hear me arguing with you.
I don't hear you arguing with me.
I recognize and appreciate your passion. But I want to understand that if we do anything, the stakeholders will be in agreement. And you've told us what it would take to get your support, and I suspect that position would be echoed in the city of St. Louis, and I recognize it. So no one can do anything without the partnership of the city of St. Louis. What we're talking about is what a partnership might look like. But I get that. And I appreciate your arguments about what that partnership might look like. I'm not even ready to go there.
But I would say this.
If you want to talk about what an airport might look like, I would be glad to participate in the conversation if you all want to do that.
I would say this. The study that the County Port Commission, that was a surprise to us. We weren't, none of that was proposed and that wasn't discussed with us. Even putting it on this agenda, it wasn't on the first agenda. It showed up on the second agenda.
As I explained before, at the Executive Advisory Committee, it was requested that it come to the board.
Let's hear from the neighborhood. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sorry.
And I do live in the neighborhood of the airport. And by the way, I think it's important that I am firmly and always have been committed to the betterment of the city. Well, and I recognize, and I hope that as this conversation continues, we recognize the short-term effects leading to supplemental change or help you with the income that could be lost by some sort of change. But I think focused on, of course, making sure the future creates a situation where you benefit, and we all benefit, greater from the economic activity both at and around the airport. I mean, I know we talk about it continuously as an asset, and it is, but as somebody who grew up with plane tires hitting the trees above my house, it also has other effects on the neighboring communities. In fact, many of the neighborhoods that I grew up playing with are now empty, and some of them are owned by the city of St. Louis, and they're full of trash and full of mattresses and everything else because it's part of the buyout. What are we going to do with it? There has been no cohesive plan working with the city, county, surrounding communities to make sure that we do something productive, that we increase the economic activity, both benefit the surrounding communities. There's more than a half a dozen communities alone that are contiguous to the airport property, not completely contiguous, close enough that we get affected, certainly. And we do get a lot of benefits from having the airport nearby, and we hope that. I think my aim, both just as the mayor of Ferguson, but also the municipal league in general, Bridgeton and other communities nearby, we're not seeing the full potential of what we can get out of it, and certainly you're not either. And so I think this conversation, from our perspective, the municipal league had asked for us to begin this conversation is not to supplant the city's ownership or anything else per se, but to have a conversation about how this is not a zero-sum game, but rather something that increases for everybody involved. I certainly, as an elected official and understanding budgeting, couldn't imagine taking away revenue from the city. I know how that feels. You wouldn't want that to, and what that would mean to the services of the citizens of St. Louis City. But, and it is, when you talk about economic multipliers and other effects, that your residents and all of our residents will benefit from improving the area. Some of those are long-term. So we've got to talk about, and remember in this conversation, how do we, on the short-term, make sure that the city and others are not negatively affected while we build to that really long-term plan of improving an airport, which improves economic activity, which improves the county, but it certainly improves, we hope, for the city as well. There's so much that's not getting done. I keep hearing about all that. The good things that are coming out of the airport, there are infrastructure issues around the airport that we pay for, municipalities and the county pays for to support the airport. So I mean, we do have expenses involved in this and making the airport successful as well. So having that conversation together about how we can all benefit of that, I think is where we need to go. And I think everybody in this room is committed to everybody benefiting from that, which is why I think why we as the municipality thought the conversation should start here. Anyone else?
Mr. Chair, I agree with almost everything that's been said here today. It looks like all we're asking for is to look at the audits and possibilities. And after we get those, we'll sit down to discuss those audits and possibilities. Not to hurt anybody, but to help our whole region. And I'd like to make a motion that we do a study on the airport.
I'll second that.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Further discussion?
Do we know?
Yeah.
Well, and I was going to suggest, we can vote today, but what I was really thinking what we would do is let Jim work on something for the next year. All right?
I'd like to see the scope.
Absolutely.
Before the next meeting, yeah.
Mr. Chair, I withdraw my motion.
Well, no, that's.
The discussion would be to, you know, let's see what the scope is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not on as an action item. Nobody asked it to be an action item today. So what I was anticipating is consensus, is that, you know, we have this discussion. You know, you come back with us and say, hey, here's some folks that might be able to help us financially do this. Talk to them. Here's some money we have we could spend on this. Here's the list of things that we need to make those people look at, including some of the things that Mr. Reed has brought up and that the city is interested in. You know, I have a lot of questions I would like to make sure. In fact, I've already sent you some stuff that had what the Port Authority was going to look at, plus some additional things, plus what you want to see. Again, like I said, we could discuss this, but I read an article in Post-Dispatch from 92 when Mayor Shamel wanted to create a not-for-profit and then lease the airport. And he was arguing that the value of that lease would increase the amount of gross receipts tax. At least that's what the article said. Of course, you know, the Post-Dispatch never gets.
So one of the other things I would say is that if you have private funders, it sounds like you're anticipating private funders. We all know that the private funding of the airport privatization study was one of the biggest impediments to getting to the end of that. So those funders, I don't know who they are.
There's not, let me tell you. I mean, first of all, I've had no conversations with anybody about that. My position on it is we stay away from private funders. We do what we can, gateway staff, with partner staffs, and we may have some money in our budget that we can shake loose for this. We may end up coming also, depending on how big this is, it sounds like Dr. Page might have been offering something up, but I don't know. I'm not putting words in your mouth, but, you know, come to you individually. But I want this to be an objective observation of what's going on. I don't want it to be driven by the outside necessarily. This is a conversation for you all. And, you know, one of the things I would like to do over this next month as we're developing that scope is have conversations with everyone. Maybe start off with a survey to all of you, kind of asking what the highlights are that we need to be hitting on, and then having conversations about it also before we come back with any firm answers on it. But,
Mr. Chairman, is this consensus enough, or should we memorialize in a specific motion to direct the staff?
We don't usually do that on your show.
Okay.
Usually we just let him
consider this.
I've dealt with this issue before, and it's a difficult issue. I'm not that optimistic that at the end we're all going to agree what to do, but I'd like for us all at least at some point to agree what the facts are.
Exactly.
Okay, agree what the facts are, and then if we still can't agree on some sort of solution, at least we won't be arguing about the facts anymore. And that's what I'd like to see.
I would just like back up with summarizing conversation. I really do think we need to refine the scope of the question and answer before we make a decision to go forward.
Definitely.
I think everyone has questions they want to answer, but unless that's clearly articulated, then we can't possibly budget for the question. And it's going to take us a little bit of time to figure out what that is.
Anyone else?
If I may, Mr. Chair, from a Bedroom County/Collar County perspective, wonderful Franklin, we are contiguous to Jefferson, St. Louis County, and St. Charles County, Main River. The perception west is that, look, there's no greater infrastructure asset to this region than Lambert, period, in terms of ability for economic enhancement development. I think on this level from staff, or this entity to take this subject matter up, fits perfectly in the scope of responsibility of this gateway. In that, this agency should by all means be, if nothing less, assistant worthy to the city of St. Louis in helping improve this great asset to our region. Because we all benefit from it, it's like everything. Be it the police, be it the poverty level, be it the infrastructure, the transportation, this is huge. And I think it's extremely appropriate that we do take this matter up. And define scope, A, skin in the game, who's in that, and how, and why, and what are the steps. So definitely on the board in terms of pursuing this thing.
And Mr. Brinker, you're not old enough to remember the debate. You're not old enough to remember the debate about moving the airport to Illinois?
I don't think I was involved.
This was 1970, okay? And the mayor of St. Louis took the position, in spite of the investment, all the great investments the city had made out there since 1928, decided that the airport would be better off in Illinois. And again, our Post-Dispatch editorial said that they were disappointed that the mayor didn't go to Gateway first and consult with the rest of the region to at least get their input, all right? And now it is, what, 40 years later? And I think the place for this debate to take place is here, but there's no point having a debate if we can't agree with what the facts are. So, if no one else would like to be heard on this.
I just want to make one more comment, which is that there has been a tremendous amount of information developed through the last couple of years, really most intensely in the last year. When we were thinking about doing business at the airport in a different way. So there's been a lot of information developed. And it's open to challenge, of course. But, you know, I think that would certainly be a framework which you ought to start with. We shouldn't spend, you know, millions of dollars to start over. There's a lot of information. There are ideas. Some of them are good. Some of them probably aren't good. But all of that ought to be taken into account as we move forward.
Absolutely. Jim, I got a big banker's box in my office of paperwork from 2001, and there was a Senate interim committee to look at this issue. And out of that is what came what we have now, where St. Louis, St. Charles, and St. Clair County at least have a representative. And I thought that was a great step by the city at that time. And, you know, maybe this is the best we can do, but we ought to work it out.
You wrote it. I saw a good white paper that you wrote about the history.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
It made my
mind. He's a history teacher, right? It's pretty interesting. So.
All right. Thank you all very much. That was, I think, a great discussion on a very, very important issue. Now we got action items. Election of board officers. Jim, want to do that or should
I? No, you do it. I mean, this is the point where you typically the outgoing chair would pass the gavel to the incoming chair.
I'm the vice chair now, and the nominating committee has made some nominations. Do you want to go over those?
Yeah. So the nominating committee met earlier this morning and are recommending that Steve Elman be chair, Kurt Prenzler first vice chair, and Lyda Krusen second vice chair. So we would need a motion.
I move that we accept the nominations.
Second. Reed, motion was Mr.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Are there any other nominations? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. It appears the ayes have it. Thank you, I think.
I'll pass the gavel.
I'll pass the gavel.
Yeah.
All right, contract to perform audit services, Stacy.
We are getting ready to start our calendar year 2019. As part of that process, we need to enter into an agreement with our auditor, which is Kate. We expect our audit to start late April, early May, and then will be done by the end of June this year. So staff is recommending that the board authorize the executive director to enter into a contract with KEP in an amount not to exceed $50,000.
Any questions or comments?
Somebody.
Do we have a motion?
I make the motion.
Second. Mr. Mosley, Mr. Reed. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Thank you, Stacy. Amend the 2020 Unified Plan Work Program. Josh?
Thank you. MoDOT's Traffic Engineering Assistance Program is a competitive funding program whereby MoDOT will fund up to $8,000 for a locally sponsored engineering project. In fiscal year 2020, one project in our region was selected, a stop sign assessment for the city of Baldwin for $10,000, including $8,000 in MoDOT funding. Staff recommends the Unified Planning Work Program be amended to add element 2.10, MoDOT Traffic Engineering Assistance Program, for a total of $10,000.
Are there any questions or comments? Is there a motion? Same as last time. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Thank you. Action item B, mid-year air quality conformity determination and documentation.
The Section 5310 program provides funding for transportation projects that improve mobility for seniors and individuals with disabilities. Funds are apportioned to a St. Louis urbanized area. The federal law requires that at least 55% of funding be spent on each of the projects, which includes the capital acquisition of vehicles. The remaining 45% can be used for new green train projects, which includes capital or operating projects that exceed the requirements of ADA, improve access to fixed rail service, or provide alternatives to public transit. The program requires a 20% local match for operating and mobility management projects and a 50% local match for operating projects. East West Gateway released a call for projects on August 29th, 2019, and project applications were due on October 11th. Approximately $3.1 million is available for this solicitation in fiscal year 2019 funds and estimated fiscal year 2020 funds. We should know the final fiscal year 2020 apportionment for Section 5310 funds within the next couple of months. At the conclusion of the solicitation, staff received 28 applications totaling $5.4 million in federal funds requested. Project applications were evaluated by East West Gateway staff based on the 2016 Board Approved Coordinated Human Services Transportation Plan. In all, staff is recommending approval of 23 projects totaling $3,186,000 in federal funds as outlined in Attachment A. In addition, staff recommends authorization to include projects recommended on the contingency list, those included in the memo, up to the amount of fiscal year 2020 funds available.
Are there any questions or comments? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Reed? Second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Item five, other business. Is there any other business?
Oh, we have item E, amendment of TIP monitoring. Jason?
Yes. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So step back now. I've talked about the next 2021-2024 schedule. Let me talk about the current 2020-2023 transportation improvement program. Back in August, when the TIP was approved, the only Department of Transportation had not yet released their multi-year program. This was in part the debate in the Illinois legislature regarding new capital bill. Rebuild Illinois was signed by Governor Fisk in June of 2019. It's the largest capital plan in Illinois history, funding about $45 billion over 6 years. Approximately $25 billion is dedicated to road bridge projects. And the funding for this is primarily through doubling of the motor fuels tax, which is index inflation, increase in the vehicle registration fees of $50, and also it's taking the sales taxes, which currently exist, the 5% sales tax on the motor fuels, and is dedicating that to the growth fund instead of currently going to general revenue. And we'll shift one fifth of that amount, we'll shift it over the next 5 years until the revenue comes fully funded with the motor fuel tax. In October, the governor of Illinois released the IDOT program, and that brings us where we are today. To expedite these projects in the capital plan, IDOT is requesting to amend 2023 TIP to add 75 projects. This includes 67 projects with construction and 8 engineering projects, totaling about $830 million. For comparison, the prior 19 and 22 TIP, IDOT's program is only $219 million, so this represents a nearly $540 million increase in the projects in the metro groups compared to the past document. IDOT's projects are summarized in the memo with attachments A and B. MoDOT's also requesting to amend the TIP to include one new project to add a westbound lane on Route 364 from the Missouri River and Jump Station, and to advance a project from FY21 to 2020. MoDOT's asking to amend to add 5 new scoping and design projects as well. And these projects are summarized in the D and E attachments to the memo. And finally, the City of Troy was selected to receive funding for the Highway Safety Improvement Program in Illinois. This program is administered by IDOT, and the project summarizes the tasks. IDOT's program contains several major projects. These are over $25 million. This includes the new Chain of Ox Bridge and Rides I-270 over Mississippi, resurfacing on I-255 between 157 and Route 15. This is section south of the airport that will be closed next year, so this is continuing the improvements on 255. Also programmed is improvements to I-64 between Scott Air Force Base and Ilfound at lanes. The improvements program to reconfigure interchange on since the gateway regions are non-attainment or maintenance of air quality standards, projects must be analyzed to determine their conformity with state air quality plans and budgets. This analysis is completed, it is now complete, because of the regional significant projects that have capacity in the region. There are 10 overall regional significant projects, 9 from IDOT and 1 from MoDOT. This conformity analysis is complete, and the projects in the TIP amendment and the TIP conform with the city budgets. Due to the large amount of projects in the amendment and the presence of the regionally significant projects that are in the amendment, this amendment and the air quality conformity determination have been released for public comment. The comment period started January 15th and goes to February 13th. Information on the amendments is available on the associated webpage. Comments can be sent by mail, email, as well as through an online comment form that's on the development page on our website. At this time, staff recommends approval of the near air quality conformity and amendments to the TIP. This is pending no adverse public comments through the end of the public comment period on February 13th.
Are there any questions? Thank you. Is there a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Cheryl Squire. Second?
I'll second.
Second by Elmore. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. The ayes have it. Now we're on other business.
I have one item. Chairman Elman introduced our new board member. We also have a new staff member I'd like to introduce. As you recall, back in December, Nick Ragnani retired from Gateway after 15 years. Nick was the executive director of STARS, the group here at East West Gateway that takes care of the Homeland Security funding for the region. We went through a selection process, had a STARS board, some individuals helping us with the selection, and we have brought Greg Farr on board as the new executive director. Greg, you want to stand up and be recognized?
Any other business? He's not here today, but Mayor Ron Counts from Jefferson County is going off the board. Dennis, will you thank you for us?
I sure will.
Maybe send him a, send him a letter, and appreciate his service. So, if nothing else, motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.